scriptures today. We'll start with Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The next one is Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Take your seats. So did you hear about the guy moved into the residential community, get on later in life, and he's moving to a nice assisted living place that he was going to spend the rest of his life. He started making new friends, and he made a lady friend that he was particularly attracted to, and she to him also. And they spent more and more time together, and finally one evening he proposed and asked her to marry him. The next morning he woke up and remembered his proposal, but he couldn't remember if she said yes or no. So he runs over to her room, well, as fast as he can, and he says, "I proposed to you last night, but I don't remember if you said yes or no." And she said, "Oh, thank goodness, because I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember to who." Well, that's normally, I don't know about y'all, but that's normally how my New Year's resolutions work. You know, it's the first of the year, and I'm going to lose some weight, and you see how that's going. We're going to exercise, we're going to eat right, we're going to do all those things right, and then sometimes I just can't remember what that was that I was going to do. So this year, I thought I'd try to come up with some New Year's resolutions that we can remember and keep. And the first one is to develop a positive outlook on your life. And ask yourself, how do you feel with your life? Everything going all right in your life? And if it isn't, what would it take to make you feel better? Would it be a big promotion at work? Or maybe sometimes winning the lottery? If your children did something that made you proud, or whatever the case may be? You know, if that's what you're thinking to make your life better, then you're looking for external things to fix what's wrong internally inside of you. The gift that God has given us, life itself, and the gift His Son gave us by dying on the cross, should be sufficient to make us happy to be here. When Laura was reading earlier from Philippians, or Paul's letter to the Philippians, and that uplifting letter that he wrote, a lot of people don't know or haven't bothered to realize that at the time he wrote that, he was in chains, in prison, under horrible, deplorable conditions. And yet, despite that, remember again, or hear again what he said, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So what was Paul reaching for? What was his goal? His goal was to be with his Maker and rejoicing in the salvation given to us by his Son. There will always be disappointments in life. every accomplishment work towards taking us to our goal. And if that's true, then Romans 8:28 is also true. All things do work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. The world says that we should achieve earthly goals. You have created success by the more land you own, or the more cattle you have, or the higher you move up in your company, or the more money that you make. All these things are what the terrestrial world thinks causes you to feel good about you and your life. But the Bible teaches us to feel good about ourselves because God loves us. Anybody remember a coach at North Carolina State University named Jimmy Valvano? Dad's going like this because we were in Houston at the time. In 1983, when the Cardiac Kids of North Carolina defeated the undefeatable University of Houston Cougars. On an air ball, I might add, the shot was nowhere near going in, and a guy grabbed the thing. Wittenberg shot it, and I can't even remember the guy's name that grabbed it, but he grabbed it and dunked it at the buzzer. Wittenberg was quoted later as saying it was tied 52-52 with 6 seconds left. Houston came out in a trap. He shot the thing from 27 feet away because he wasn't going to go in the locker room and not have tried to take a shot. And they won the game, much to my chagrin, in 1983. Jimmy Valvano, you may remember, he ran all over the court looking for somebody to hug with his arms outstretched. He was looking for somebody to hug and celebrate with. And that's what Jimmy Valvano is known for. What he's not often known for is that 8 years later, he was diagnosed with inoperable terminal cancer. He had bone cancer, and in Christmas of 1992, he said, "It's hard for me to get excited and be thankful at Christmas because I don't think I'm going to be here next year." And he wasn't. He died in 1993. But before he died, he said, "I'm going to get on my knees every day and thank God for the 46 years He gave me." That's a better way to be remembered, to me, I think. The second thing is to develop a positive attitude towards the church. And I don't say that with regards to this particular church, although it's better than and certainly prettier than a lot of churches that I've been in, or the Methodist Church in general, but the universal church. We worship God in different ways. Christian churches are united in one thing, which is to reach out, preach the gospel to a lost and dying world, and give them the message of salvation. Most of the time in the church, we talk about what things cost, and that costs too much, or this costs too much. If you remember back in Matthew 26, a woman brought a jar filled with expensive perfume, broke it, and anointed our Savior's head with this perfume. Immediately chastised by several of the disciples, saying that we should have sold that perfume and given the money to the poor. Jesus responded, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. When she poured perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial." See, our Savior has a different look on what is and what is not expensive. When you people look at your tax return, non-believers look at your tax return and see the percentage that you've given to the church, they may think that a waste. But the things that are wasteful in their eyes, in many times, are the things that are most enduring. As Jesus said later, "I tell you the truth, whenever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory to her." So when we need to understand that when we risk something for God, we could lose. But the big battle has already been won because Jesus went to the cross and died for us. And losing some battles along the way is bound to happen. And greatness always courts failure. But I would rather try and do something great for God or my family or my community and fail than play safe and succeed in the eyes of the world. John Wesley is well known in Methodist circles as being the founder of the Methodist Church, but he was also a great preacher and speaker in England. And he was also known to be a very nice dresser. Did y'all know that? He was dressed very well. After one of the sermons in England, a woman came up to him and said, "Would you accept some criticism?" And he said, "Sure, I guess so." And she said, "Your tie strings are too long," and pulled out a pair of scissors and clipped them off because she thought they were too long for a person preaching the Word of God. And John Wesley responded, "Ma'am, would you consider some criticism?" And she said, "Well, I guess so." He took the scissors from her hand and looked at her and said, "Please stick out your tongue." Which brings us to my last display a positive attitude towards others. We must always display a positive attitude towards others and humble ourselves, even when accolades are being placed upon us that we truly deserve. Terry Bradshaw, during his induction ceremony into the Hall of Fame, said, and I quote, "This honor would mean nothing to me at all if I didn't have people who loved me." Some of you remember Earl Campbell, used to play for the Houston Oilers. Russian titles out the wazoo. Some people may say the best power back to ever play the game. And yet every year he would spend exorbitant amounts of money on his offensive lineman and a fullback named Tim Wilson. And when asked why he did, and I'm talking about cars and watches and vacations, and he said, "Because I wouldn't be here if not but for them." This is a hard world, and a world that doesn't always exercise courtesy. Sometimes it's a dog-eat-dog world where people are jockeying positions on it at their workplace, in the church, on the highway, in their companies, and are always full of stress and anxiety. In a hurry, all the time. My grandpa RJ used to say, "If you ever find yourself in a hurry," I'm trying to do his voice, "if you ever find yourself in a hurry, you should have got out of bed sooner." But the church must be a place where all can come and be accepted and loved and encouraged and built up, where there are people here to help us carry our burdens and everyone feels welcome. You see, if we treat each other with love, then wonderful things will happen for the kingdom of God. So this year, let's make sure that we display a positive attitude towards others. People need people. But more than that, people need positive people and constant positive influences in their life. Maybe more than any other, we should make the resolution, I'm going to be positive as I look at my life. I'm going to be positive as I look at the church. And I'm going to be positive as I look at others. And may I humbly suggest to you that if you allow these resolutions to filter down into every segment of your life, that 2017 will be one of the best years you have ever had. And as you live each day of it, you will get closer and closer to the goal, the heavenward prize, to be with God. Amen.